Hello, everyone, and welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation, a podcast from AIM10X dedicated to uncovering the stories behind the world's leading change agents and the most valuable learnings from our community of global innovators. I'm your host, Caleb Masters, and as always, we're here to provide you with actionable insights from today's greatest thought leaders to guide and accelerate your journeys. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. You can learn more by heading to aim10x.09solutions.com. In today's episode, we'll be joined by Vineet Khanna, the former Senior Vice President and Global Head of Supply Chain at Nestle, to hear his perspective on how to unlock the full potential of the supply chain. We'll start by discussing the pivotal role of supply chain leaders in driving high-performing teams to surmount today's unique business challenges and satisfy customer demand. We'll also cover the broader societal responsibilities of successful businesses beyond merely meeting demand and securing a profitable bottom line. And then we'll close out the conversation by talking about how to leverage technology to align cultural investments with tangible business outcomes. We have so much to cover today. Let's go ahead and introduce today's guest. Vineet Khanna has 37 years of global experience in several domains, including supply chain and procurement, finance, digital technologies, and operational excellence. In his last role at Nestle as the SVP and Global Head of Supply Chain, he managed global responsibility for strategy, operational performance, and transformational projects for end-to-end supply chain, including demand and supply planning, physical logistics, customer service, materials management, digital supply chain, and so much more. During his distinguished career so far, Vineet has held several senior leadership roles and management teams for 25 years at country, regional, and global levels, and he has had extensive multifunctional experience in a variety of roles ranging from strategy formulation to global transformation projects in business as well as digital technology. Vineet, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Caleb, and thank you for the flattering introduction.
You've done the incredible work. I'm just excited that I have the opportunity to sit down and learn a little more from you today. But of course, we're going to get into the topic at hand here, which is really building high-performance teams and the role supply chain can play at the world writ large. But before we do, I thought it would be good to learn a little bit more about your career journey. What led you to the world of planning and supply chain?
Caleb, I would begin by saying that I'm extremely grateful for the career that I have had. I say this because I started with a very modest background. We were a family of six with very little income and almost living hand to mouth. And you might be surprised that when I was growing up, if somebody asked me, what's your aspiration? I would have said to earn enough to own a television set in my house because we didn't have a TV in my house. So compared to that, the fact that I started off as a management trainee and concluded my last role as the global head of supply chain for world's largest CPG company, I'm extremely grateful for the journey and grateful to a lot of people that I worked with, people who collaborated with me, and a lot of people who inspired me. And I must say that I find that being grateful and being positive is a very fertile ground for developing the virtues and qualities that you require for success, be it leadership, be it resilience, be it adaptability, being fulfilled. So I'm very grateful for what I've gone through. Broadly speaking, I divide my career into two parts, 25 years in supply chain and procurement, as you talked about earlier, and 12 years, what I jokingly call preparing for supply chain, because I had the fortune of working in four different roles, 3 years in factories, 3 years in finance, 3 years in sales, and 3 years in technology and operational excellence. And by the time I came into supply chain as my first role, the fact that I had done these four different roles in different functions paved the perfect ground for supply chain. I would say deep and wide perspective on business from all different angles. So I've been very fortunate in that respect. My experience is that working in different functions and working in different geographies gave me that diversity, which is important to understand the business truly. I often give an example that if you go to a cardiologist and if that cardiologist only knows about heart and he doesn't know the implications of the medications on the lungs and kidneys and so on and so forth, you would not be very happy going to that cardiologist. Similarly, in business, you need people who understand business end-to-end. I'm not saying expertise in end-to-end everything, but having a good understanding of the business end-to-end, having a perspective where knowing that how one part affects the other and having a broad understanding of business helps you in being successful. So therefore, my advice to people often is to try and get a variety of experience by changing functions, if possible, within the same organization, certainly, or just by making sure that you are learning by being curious. Learn about sales, learn about finance, learn about even within supply chain. People can change from customer service to logistics to procurement. So once you get a variety of exposures, then it becomes easier for you to do justice to the business as a whole and be a lot more effective. One more thing I would say is just to conclude my career aspect is that I found that it's important to work on details in any job that you're working on, but always relate to the big picture of the business. I often say that you should know what is your boss's boss priority. What are the big business priorities? Because as long as you have that big picture in mind, it allows you to make sure that your actions and your strategies are adapted and linked to the big picture. So that's a very brief career journey that I have gone through where I've been very grateful and very, very lucky, I would say.
I think that's just simply incredible. You've had to work very hard and stay curious, as you noted there. That's some really great actionable advice for anyone listening, no matter the job level. Know what your boss's boss is looking for and thinking. I want to dig a little bit more into your perspective on your career in supply chain. What have you personally found is perhaps one of the most fulfilling parts of your career?
I normally use two words. One is contribution, second is creation. By contribution, I mean that how am I able to help the people and the team to go up in their own learning or in their own career? For example, when I was leading a team, I had a personal KPI for me that how many people who working with me or worked with me in last few years, how many of them have become head of supply chain? I don't mean this as a KPI, but just necessary, just to have a look at it that did they learn enough? Did they grow while they were working with me? So that's one aspect which is normally very fulfilling for me. Second, when I say creation, I am some sort of a maverick, let me be honest. I always look for what is the next level of performance compared to what is the popular level of or common understanding today. I always look for what is the next huge breakthrough and what is the next level of performance. So what I enjoyed creating always is a mindset where the performance can be taken to a significantly higher level, which happened in various roles. When I did global transformation of technology projects, any global change management project, or not only global, but even at our crisis management, some of those crisis management were very difficult situations. So a creation of a new level of performance and in conceptual terms, creation of a new paradigm, a new way of thinking, these things have been very, very satisfying for me.
I think that's a tremendous way to measure your success. Number one is how have the people I've led, how have they been able to grow and thrive once we've parted ways, number one. And number two is what were some of the innovations that I pushed for that you can now see raise the bar across the industry, spoken like a true digital transformation leader. With that in mind, though, what would you say has been perhaps one of your biggest career challenges on the flip side?
Well, lots. In a 37 years career, there are lots of challenges. But I would talk about two. One is the so-called soft aspect, which is the transitions to different roles, especially if I go to a completely new geography country where the way of working is totally different. It has happened with me several times. I started in India, but then I moved to different geographies, Australia and Switzerland, working with different nationalities. The transition to a different context in which the way people think, behave, and perform is a bit different, that has been challenging for me. And I learned something in that. What I learned there is that perhaps one of the most important skills is adaptability without sacrificing your authenticity. That's very important. Adaptability is important so that you can adjust to the new environment and deliver results and perform. But don't become something who you are not. That's what I mean by not sacrificing your authenticity. Authenticity is that who you are. What do you stand for? What I always did, therefore, that even if transition was challenging, I always maintained the core of my authenticity. Because for me, that is the source of power, source of leadership, that you are authentic. But then adapt to the way people think, respect how they think, respect how they work, respect their perspective, and see how you can adapt to that and achieve the business results. That is one aspect which I found challenging, but at the same time, enjoyable as well. The second thing is multiple crises. Just as an example, when I started my role in Asia, Africa, Oceania several years ago, in the first year itself when I started, there was tsunami in Japan, followed by a coup in Ivory Coast where there were two presidents, followed by Arab Spring in Middle East, followed by floods in Thailand and Philippines in 6 months. All these things disrupted business significantly. What I learned in that time is that it's very important, A, not to panic in crisis situation. Because if you start panicking, then you lose the clarity of thinking, the what needs to be done. Speed is essential. I think it's important that we take into account speed, but making sure there's a structure of daily meetings with the right stakeholders, a structure of capturing what is happening and what can happen, a structure for making an action plan for different scenarios. So speed was important, but so was structure. And thirdly, most important thing, know the ground reality. Be in touch with people on the ground who are managing the crisis, which was very useful, by the way, in the COVID period as well, when we had nearly 2-3 years of significant crisis. As happens in life, when you look back at those areas, they are very satisfying as well, because you grew out of that.
Again, you mentioned flexibility and adaptability being really big factors in terms of your overall success. I want to dig into the current post-COVID period we're in right now. I mean, following the shutdowns we experienced anywhere from 2020 to 2022, supply chains, they continue to face a number of seemingly, I would say air quotes, once in a lifetime, but rare challenges. I mean, things like talent shortages. We have global conflicts such as the war in Ukraine. There's increased pressure to make supply chains more sustainable by lowering carbon emissions. And that's just to name a few of the things that I think are really on the minds of a lot of supply chain leaders today. In the face of many of these challenges, the pressure to innovate really is increasing. According to Gartner, about 83% of businesses demand that supply chains enhance the customer experience as a component of their digital business strategy. So with all that in mind, I want to get your perspective here. You've already outlined it. The world continues to change. The way of work in many companies is struggling to continue to keep up. How has the role of supply chain evolved, especially after those challenges that we've seen?
I think what's happened in the last few years, because of multiple risks and challenges, the role of supply chain has become a lot more holistic. By holistic, I mean, initially, there used to be focus on costs and focus on service to an extent. And that is important. That will always remain important. But it became holistic because I think most boards and most companies started to invest and understand the importance of resilience in supply chain. At the same time, the focus on agility also improved, which means understanding that what do we need to do to make the business more agile in response to the changes. And at the same time, Caleb, as you would have seen, that the sustainability topic became more and more prominent and more important for most organizations. So from just focus on cost and to an extent on service, the focus has become a lot more holistic now, which is good news. So therefore, there is time for chief supply chain officers to leverage this. As somebody has said very famously, Churchill, that never waste a crisis. This opportunity of making sure that the holistic focus on supply chain is translated into focus from the boards in terms of investments, right support, right strategies. This is the right time to do that. That's the good news. At the same time, as you rightly pointed out, the risks are many. Risks are, geopolitical risks are numerous. The climate risks, by the way, are no longer a risk. They're happening as we speak. The job of CSCO or a chief supply chain officer or anybody in leadership position has become a lot more challenging. Sometimes I give the analogy of the fact that as a supply chain person, you were juggling 2 or 3 balls in the air and nothing should fall. Now you are juggling probably 8 balls at the same time at high speed, and the ground on which you are standing is shaking. For me, looking from a more optimistic perspective, even that's a good news for supply chain, because it's the time for supply chains to shine to their full potential. And considering what's happening, what I described just now, and you also talked about it, the time has come for supply chains to rise to their full potential. So that's also the positive side of what's happening.
I love that you use the term full potential of the supply chain. Just elaborate further. What do you mean by that specifically?
This is going to be a little provocative for some people, but I will share my thoughts on that. I start with the overall proposition that at times you would hear supply chain people talking about a seat at the table. What I'm talking about is moving from a seat at the table to leading the table. When we say that in the COVID period, supply chains became more prominent, it's good news. But even that is that you're called into the room when there's a problem. COVID was a big problem, therefore supply chain became very prominent. That's not full potential of supply chain. Full potential of supply chain is when supply chain is integral to the design of the strategy, it is integral to the design of the business model, and it is certainly integral to the operating model of the business. Let me elaborate two or three terms to dig deeper into this. When I say leading the supply chain, leading the table, it's very important for me to explain the term leadership. Leading does not mean you are the boss. Leading does not mean you are the most important person on the table. Leading is a responsibility of orchestration. There are different definitions of leadership. I often say that in response to any situation in our business or in family, we behave in certain manner. So we behave either as a victim, or we behave either as a bystander, or we behave as a player who takes an action, or we behave as a leader. So these are four different behaviors in response to a problem or a situation. So a victim blames and complains. A bystander just makes a comment on something. Yeah, this is happening. A player, on the other hand, is somebody who takes an action. But leader is somebody who owns it, who takes the responsibility of orchestrating whatever action is required to complete the task and get the desired result. So if the street in which you're living, for example, is dirty, you can behave as a victim, saying, blame somebody that nobody cleans it up and so on and so forth, or make a smart comment, which is fine. Or you can take an action that pick up two or three pieces of paper and put them in the bin. But you can also be a leader. That means you make the right phone calls. You connect with the right people. You organize whoever needs to be spoken to make sure that the street is clean. You're not the inspector of the street. You're not the boss. But you take the responsibility of orchestrating people, resources, connecting, and get what needs to be done. That's what I mean by leading. Now, the second element is the supply chain's DNA. The DNA of supply chain is orchestration. Orchestrating multiple flows, the physical flow, the financial flow, the material flow, to achieve results by orchestrating the entire ecosystem of suppliers, of customers, and so on and so forth. So with these two elements in mind, if you look at the situation today, there are three factors which we need to bear in mind. Number one, that there are multiple results which businesses need to deliver to their shareholders, but also to the society and to the planet. Second, none of those results can be achieved without really collaborating, not only internally, but externally, with the suppliers, not only T-1 suppliers, but T-2, T-3, T-4 suppliers, with your customers, sometimes even with your competitors. You need to collaborate with the entire system. And third thing is the risks we talked about a short while ago, which you also mentioned so well, that there's so many risks in the environment. Now, if we have to put all this together, it is the DNA of supply chain which can make sure that businesses can succeed in managing all these multiple variables, delivering results in the short term and in the long term. So the DNA of supply chain, if it is used in designing the business strategies and running the business, it will give the right results for the business, for the people, and for the society, and for the planet. That's why I say that time has come for supply chains to rise to their full potential and manage these multiple constraints, multiple resources, multiple objectives simultaneously.
I love how you outline and detailed the DNA of supply chain really equips supply chain leaders to lead these conversations. How should supply chain leaders take the role that they have, take their teams to the full potential of the supply chain to have those big impact on the society at large?
As I mentioned, Caleb, earlier, the first thing would be leadership. Leadership is important in all functions and all roles, but I think in supply chain, it is make or break, because you are dealing with a number of stakeholders. You don't directly control them. You're not their boss, but you orchestrate the system. So leadership is fundamental. And secondly, I realize that what I'm saying is a bit futuristic, and supply chain leaders will have to talk about taking the role of supply chain to the next level with a view of future in mind, like transformative leaders that we've had in the past. All the big changes that happened in the past were because of people who were able to see beyond the current level of conversations. Whether you take Nelson Mandela or Albert Einstein in science or Abraham Lincoln, all these leaders were able to create a new paradigm, a new way of looking at things beyond what was prevalent today. So that kind of leadership is essential. But let me get more specific about what they should do. For me, the first thing is to make sure that supply chain is positioned on consumers and customers. and I can't emphasize it enough. If you position supply chain on consumer and customer satisfaction, that starts the circle around which you can create a new positioning and new role of supply chain. I often say to people in my presentations that there is only one moment of truth in business. And I underline the word one. It is not when you declare the business results. The one moment of truth is when a consumer or a customer is making a choice. If the consumer buys your product, your service, or your proposition, then you're successful. Your strategies are successful, your execution is successful, your communication is successful. But if the consumer does not buy your product or your service, then your strategy, your execution, and your everything has failed. You might make nice presentations, but you fail the moment of truth. So once we run the business with this mindset that we have to win with consumers and customers, that's the starting point of journey for supply chains to transform themselves to a new positioning. That's the step number one in my view. The second step is to be very genuinely and authentically be business oriented. So when you speak the language to all your colleagues, you should be talking about revenue, margin profitability, capital efficiency, sustainability. The language and the way you come across is a person who is talking business results. He's not talking about KPIs of supply chain. What are boards looking for? Revenue growth, margin improvement, capital efficiency, sustainability, etc. Everything that you communicate, your behaviors and your actions need to speak the language of the business, not the language of the KPIs and the technical terms which supply chain people sort of tend to use at times, very often in supply chain. The third thing for me would be the element of courage to pick up some causes which are good for the business, but not necessarily popular. As an example, in some businesses, the portfolio of products and services is too complex. Supply chain people are in good position to pick up those causes and take them up with the board or with the senior management to say, let's do what is good for the business. Now, this is not easy. I'm not naive. I have faced a lot of battles. It's not easy, but it requires a genuine leadership and genuine business orientation to say that let's do these things which are good for business. So take examples of resilience we were talking about. Resilience agenda can be picked up by supply chain people because your supply chain people are best placed to look at the end-to-end value chain, talk about what needs to be done to build resilience in the business, what investments we require in technology, what investments are required in physical capacity and network, how should we work with suppliers and with our customers. When you pick up those causes, then you naturally become a leader and the positioning of the supply chain starts to change. So these are some of the actions they can specifically undertake in this journey. But it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a few days. You really have to be authentic about business orientation. You have to be authentic about consumer and customer centricity. You have to demonstrate the courage to take up some causes which are good for business.
How can some of the emerging digital technologies that we're seeing today help enable both supply chain leaders and also teams to be successful?
I must go back to what you were asking me before in terms of challenges. And in those crises, which I've talked about, that's where I learned the importance of digital technology. I sometimes define technology as digital technology as a lot of intelligence without ego. We talked about a lot of challenges in the business, the risks and the volatility, et cetera, et cetera. If that was to be considered a battle, that the business has a battleground with a lot of risks, a lot of challenges, without digital technology, you are going into a battle without arms and ammunition. And for business, the arms and ammunition is capability. And those capabilities are given by digital technology. So for example, visibility of end-to-end supply chain is a capability. Being able to predict demand, which we did, for example, in the COVID period, how demand is going to behave. So a predictability of the demand is an element. Scenario planning, being able to model different businesses and business scenarios, what ifs, the integrated business planning, etc. Having a view of the operational supply chain, like the transport control towers and things like that. So the visibility, predictability, optimization, scenario planning and modeling, these are the capabilities which are absolutely vital for the businesses to succeed in today's environment. And for supply chain leaders to talk about orchestrating the end-to-end supply chain or having resilience on the agenda. Resilience would require, let's say, transparency of the upstream supply chain and downstream supply chain. For supply chain leaders to succeed, their portfolio has to have these digital technologies to succeed Otherwise, managing the complexity is very difficult, managing the volatility is very difficult, and delivering the results like cost efficiency, optimization, frequent changes in the outside scenario, modeling are going to be extremely difficult. Digital technologies need to be seen as an investment, not only for efficiency, but for resilience and but for agility. And the challenge for supply chain leaders, and in fact their leadership, lies in articulating the benefits of digital investments. So leadership for me lies in the fact that how do you translate the benefits of digital technology and articulate in a manner which you can sell to the board. And I think that's the key thing which is important.
Thank you so much for outlining those key areas of opportunity, but also the challenges and how to overcome the challenges of actually getting buy-in for the technology. Vineet, we are about out of time, but I just wanted to close us out by bringing it back to a little bit about your perspective and your career. What words of advice or guidance would you provide to our listeners who maybe are leading teams or digital transformation initiatives today?
Well, I think people element is the most important one. Now, let me say that people are the biggest source of competitive advantage. At the same time, let me be very frank with you, Caleb. It is often used as lip service. It is important for people to realize, for leaders to realize that it is truly their biggest asset. Anything that I talked about, resilience, agility, efficiency, all those things are possible if you have the right people in the right chair and you make sure that they are inspired and that they are motivated. So it's really, really important that leaders put this on top of their agenda, that having the right people, inspiring the right people is the most important thing. And underlying that is the culture of the organization. You might have heard of this famous saying that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I think it's so true that you can talk about any strategy on paper or on your boards and so on and so forth. What really matters is the culture of the organization. And not the stated culture, the true culture. And I think true culture is often found in the jokes which people exchange, or true culture is found in the coffee machine conversations, what gets rewarded, what gets recognized, which behavior is promoted. So develop the right culture where people are inspired, they are motivated. It does not mean that you don't become demanding, by the way. I'm not talking about being very cozy and being very nice. No, I think I'm talking about being demanding and being caring at the same time. And it's for leaders to make sure that you get the best out of your team by giving them the right climate, the right leadership, the right inspiration, the right purpose. But one thing which I have said most often in this discussion is authenticity. And none of this can be done if you're just paying lip service to this cause. This requires genuine authenticity, that you realize that this is truly the most competitive advantage that I have in my team, is the right people who are motivated, who are inspired, and I'm investing behind their growth. While I'm at it, let me add the last element of diversity. The fact is that if you want to have good teams, people and teams which are able to look at things from a different perspective and give you advanced signals, give you advice, give you new perspective, then diversity is very important. But diversity of gender, diversity of different ethnicities, diversity of age, important to have young people, very young people in the team who can challenge you on your paradigms. But diversity also is a verb. What I mean by that is that diversity is a culture where different opinions are not just tolerated, but respected. So that's when diversity becomes a rich culture and you get the right inputs from your team. This is truly the most important area with authenticity.
That's a good way to wrap up the conversation, put the emphasis on the people and welcome diversity. And like you said, true diversity. Vineet Khanna, thank you so much for joining us on Masters of Digital Transformation today.
Thank you very much, Caleb. I also enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning into today's episode featuring Vineet Khanna, the former Senior Vice President and Global Head of Supply Chain at Nestle. If you enjoyed today's conversation and want to learn more from the world's leading change agents, you can join our community of global innovators by heading to aim10x.o9solutions.com and signing up today. Aim10x is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. You can also keep up with more episodes of Masters of Digital Transformation by heading to your preferred podcast app and leaving us a rating and a review, most notably on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also give us a follow there. Or you can learn more about the activities and learning opportunities available through the AIM10X Innovators Network by following AIM10X on LinkedIn. To close out today, I wanted to leave you with this powerful quote that came to mind when I was talking with Vineet from the great Winston Churchill about unlocking potential. He said, "Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking potential." Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in our next episode where we'll sit down with Radu Palomaru, the managing director at Alcott Global and the global head of the supply chain and logistics practice there, to talk about how supply chain leaders can retain their influence in the boardroom. This is one you won't want to miss.